This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is Jubilee Sunday, one of those Sundays we've designated as a touchstone moment when we hope that those who are able to worship in person will be here and those who need to worship online will be present in real time so that we have this hour together of worship when we are all connected in the Spirit of God. And I hope you have a chance to meet some new friends today and that we experience the Spirit of Christ in our midst as we worship. I would invite everyone to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're worshiping online, there should be a link that you can cut and paste and put in your browser. And if you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. And if you will sign those and pass them down and take notice of the names of the friends sitting on your pew. And if there's a name you don't recognize, there's an opportunity to meet someone new today. It's not only Jubilee Sunday, it's Donut Sunday. So, as you leave worship today, we encourage you to go out this door into Reed Hall, and there are donuts there, which we hope also gives an opportunity for conversation and fellowship and to meet someone new this morning. This is also our Giving Sunday, when we invite all who are able to make your estimates of giving for the upcoming year. Laura Creekmore will be sharing a ministry moment later in the service, but we will be having an opportunity to place those in the offering plates as they go by today. There's also a way to do that through the website at our website /estimate now, and you can help us and our finance committee do the planning we need to do for a great year in 2023. Speaking of the new year, Advent begins on November 27th. That is the beginning of the Christian year. There are a couple of events I want to highlight for you so you can go ahead and mark your calendars. On Saturday, December 3rd from 9 to 12, we'll have a mini retreat to get spiritually grounded for the season of Advent. And then on that next day, the Sunday the 4th at 4 o'clock, we'll have our wreath-making workshop, which is a great opportunity for us to get our Advent wreaths ready and take them home to mark the season at home as well. This morning, we get to experience a vision of God's dream for creation as we hear from the prophet Isaiah. So let us open our hearts and minds, our eyes and ears to hear and believe in this beautiful vision.
We come to worship you this morning, O God. Remind us of your vision.
A world of peace, justice, and love.
May our time together bless us.
May our time together inspire us to live into the dream of a beloved community.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confessions with the confidence of children of God. God of the new heaven and new earth, we hear your vision of a world where all have enough, where justice reigns, and where peace prevails. Help us to have hope and faith in that vision, especially when what we experience in the world can feel so different. Forgive us for the ways we have contributed to the suffering of others through our action or inaction. Forgive us for staying silent when we should speak. Renew our spirits this day. Help us to be people who will work to bring your vision for the kingdom to our communities. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love in ways that are comfortable to you here in the sanctuary and at home. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress. No more shall there be an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. They shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite any children who want to come up and join me for a moment to talk about that beautiful picture that Grayson just painted for us from the scriptures. Come on up. And if you're worshiping from home, just move a little closer to your screens. Hello, hello. Good morning. I'm so glad to see all of you. Come on down. Well, thank you, Grayson, for reading that scripture passage. You helped us all to see a picture that the prophet Isaiah was painting for us. It was kind of a picture of God's dream for the world and what the world should look like. It helps me sometimes to have pictures in my mind or to imagine what the world could be like if we were just the way God wanted us to be. One of the images and pictures I think of is right here on my stole. You see all these children? These are children from all over the world. And they all look happy, and they all look like they've been eating well, and they have enough, and they're happy to be together. And it just makes me hopeful. And I think about what the world could be. And so this Isaiah passage that Grayson read for us talks about people having homes and everybody having enough and everybody living in peace. It's just a beautiful thing to imagine. But you know what? As people of God, we don't just imagine these things. We also work for them. We try to make the world a better place. And I know all of you do that so well every day by being kind, by reaching out to people who are lonely, by hugging a friend maybe when they're sad, by sharing your toys or food, all sorts of ways that you make the world a better place. And I thank you for that. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for these places in the Bible where we can imagine the world as you want it to be. We thank you for the imagination of children that can really help us see that things can be better. So help us do everything we can to make this world more like you want it to be, kinder, with more compassion and love. Help us do that every single day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you all so much for listening. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor James and Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. I want to begin this morning by asking for a little bit of grace from you. I have been, this past week, did my first round participating in a study at Vanderbilt Hospital for memory and Alzheimer's, and it involves several rounds of MRIs and things like that, and I'm really glad to be doing it. But on Wednesday, I had a lumbar puncture, and ever since then, I've had a headache. Apparently, like 25% of the people, this happens to them, that's me. And so I've been on this loop of Tylenol and Advil, and I haven't been able to give my full attention to this text from Isaiah. And it sort of breaks my heart because I have been so looking forward to digging into this text with you this week. It is one of the most powerful visions of the reign of God that we can imagine. And so my prayer is that in spite of my loopiness, in spite of my limitations this morning, that the word of the Lord comes through to all of us and that we can catch this vision. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, you spoke through the prophet Isaiah, and you laid before your people a vision of the world as it could be, of your hopes and dreams for us and for this planet and for this life. Help us to hear your dream, to latch onto it with our hearts and our lives. And whether it is through me or in spite of me this morning, may we all hear your word. In Christ's name, amen. On August 28th, 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stepped out on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and delivered his famous "I Have a Dream" speech. Now, we may know that that actually wasn't the speech he planned to give that day. He was about two-thirds of the way through his prepared remarks when his friend Mahalia Jackson, the great singer, off to the side, cried out to him, "Tell him about the dream, Martin." And so he set aside his notes and he began to tell them about the dream. "I have a dream," he said, "that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream," he said. And no doubt you have listened to that speech yourself. You have read it, hopefully heard it and read it many times. And this vision of Martin Luther King Jr. came from his faith. Came from a deep belief in a God of justice and righteousness who wanted a better world. The vision came from someone who looked at the world he was living in and knew it was not as God would want it to be. And so he painted a picture. He gave a vision of what he believed God would want the world to be. And his dream inspired a generation and subsequent generations and continues to inspire us to live up to that dream, to live into that dream, that picture that he painted for us. That's what prophets do for us. They give us a vision of how things can be. And the prophets of God give us a vision, I believe, of the world that God wants for us, the dream that God has for our lives and for all of creation. Dr. King was not the first prophet, nor was he the last. The prophet we hear from today spoke and lived thousands of years ago and spoke into a different moment in history. If you know a little bit about the history of the people of Israel, they had been living in the promised land, but the Babylonian army came in, conquered the people, destroyed the temple, decimated their homes, and dragged many of them into exile in Babylon. But when the prophet speaks in this text, he's speaking to a moment when they've been returned from exile. They're now back home. So it's a moment of renewal and new beginning, but it is also a moment of brokenness. Because there they stand in their homeland amid the rubble of the temple and the rubble of their homes. And so the prophet speaks and gives a vision of the new Jerusalem. And even though he is speaking to a people thousands of years ago, to a moment that happened thousands of years ago, we still hear his words and we see the vision and it speaks to us. "I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. I will create Jerusalem as a joy." And then we hear the word of the Lord through the prophet describing what this new Jerusalem will look like. And it's easy to think the prophet's talking about, you know, that day way down the road when all things are made new, that day with the end of all creation or judgment day or resurrection day or however we might frame it. But there's so much in what he says that is about the here and now. about children being born and people living into old age and dying a natural death, about building houses and planting crops. So I hear this as a vision for the here and now, as well as for eternity. So as we dig into this vision, as we look at the concreteness of it, we can begin to ask the question, how do we embrace this vision? How do we, as the people of God, believe in it and hope for it and work for it? We hear things like, there will be not an infant who lives but a few days. There will be no infant mortality. And all people will live to the ripe age of 100 at least, which says to me there will be no more cancer. There will be no more Alzheimer's. There will be no more suicide, no more gun violence, no more disease, no more COVID-19. They will build houses and live in them. Everyone will have a home to live in. They will plant crops and eat the fruits of their labor. Everyone will have enough to eat. And not one person's labor will be exploited for the profit of another, but everybody will have meaningful work that is enough for them to live and to thrive. And the vision goes on and on and on. And I can close my eyes and begin to see it. A community of people where everyone has enough and people are living in peace and there's enough food, enough housing, enough health care for all to thrive. This is no pipe dream. This is the vision of God to inspire the people of God. And we hear it at the beginning when God says through the prophet, "My people will rejoice in all that I am creating." Which to me says this is something that God is creating even now in our midst and is inviting us as God's people to be part of it. So one question I have for myself and for all of us is, how do we participate in this world that God is creating in our midst even now? I heard about a congregation that had looked around at the needs in their community and realized that the infant mortality rate in their community was much higher than the national average. And so they took that on as a goal, to bring down the infant mortality rate in their community. And they started programs of prenatal care and counseling for young mothers and fathers, to add extra support in the hospitals, to care for those and help bring about family nutrition and things that would help children to thrive. You know, this study that I'm doing at Vanderbilt, I'm doing on the one hand because my mother died with Alzheimer's, and it's a good way for me to check in every couple of years and get my own check-in on how I'm doing. But it's also something I can do to participate in bringing down this disease, because I believe God would like for Alzheimer's to be eradicated from the face of the earth. And if I can deal with a headache for a few days as part of the work that's being done to get rid of that disease, sign me up. There's a vision that all people would have a place to live and a home. And this congregation has, I don't even know how many habitat homes we have built together along with others in our community to make that dream a reality. Or how many of you have worked with families to help them finance a new home so they can have a safe place to live and raise their families? There's all sorts of work to be done to live out this vision that Isaiah puts before us, the dream of God. And not one of us can do all of it, but each one of us can do our part. And God can work through all of God's people to help this dream become a reality, to help the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In just a few moments, we will affirm our faith together, as we do almost every Sunday, with this affirmation of faith that comes to us from the United Church of Canada. And in that affirmation, we will say, we believe in God who has created and is creating. Even now, my friends, God is creating the beloved community. The reign of God is breaking in. May we have eyes to see, hearts to believe, and hands to join in the work that God is doing. Thanks be to God.
May we rise in body or in spirit, participating in that vision that God has called to bring about God's kingdom. You can find the affirmation on page 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayer requests. There's a gray card in the pew rack in front of you. We will pray for you throughout the week. You can put that gray card in the offering plate in a few moments. If you're online, you can click the Contact Us link and share your prayer requests there. Our prayers are with the family of longtime West End member Josephine Durrett, Joe Doubleday, who passed away on Sunday, November the 6th. Among her survivors is her husband, Ben Doubleday. A memorial service is planned for Friday, November the 18th at 11 a.m. here in the sanctuary. Visitation in Reed Hall will precede the service beginning at 10 a.m. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Compassionate God, passages like our scripture this morning give us a vision to build your kingdom of peace. Let us live in peace, God. Let children live in peace, in homes free from abuse. Let them go to school in peace, free from violence and fear. Let them play in peace, God, in safe parks, in safe neighborhoods. Watch over them. Let us travel and gather in peace. Protect us along whatever road we take. Let nations dwell together in peace, without the threat of war hovering over them. Together, let us pray for our local, municipal, and state leaders and national leaders that were just elected who make decisions about everything from school systems to water in our communities. God, grant your peace to our leaders so that they might make wise decisions in matters that will impact our education of the children in our community, in matters that will have an impact on our environment and creation, in matters that will have an impact on our safety, in matters that will have an impact on how we lived with and relate to one another. Grant wisdom and peace to us all, and guide us to seek and create your kingdom on earth. Bless and use the gifts we pledge today to bring about that kingdom. When solutions seem impossible, show us the way. Where there are differences, let your love prevail. Heal our divisions and heal our land. And so we join our voices to pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite West End member Laura Creekmore to share with us a ministry moment.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is that working? Okay, I think it is. It is such a delight to be here with you this morning for just a few minutes. I want to give you a little sneak peek into the really exciting work that I've gotten to see and participate in as a member of the Finance Committee this year. So it's Pledge Sunday, as Carol said this morning. And if you're new to our congregation or the Methodist Church, this might be new to you. So this is the Sunday where we either fill out this little card that's in your pew rack, or you can go online under the Give link and make a commitment to our community how much financial support we think we can give to the church next year. It really is a commitment to each other. And I want to tell you why that's so important from what I've seen this year on the Finance Committee. Our pledges really are about letting our community plan well for all of the stuff that Carol just talked about in that wonderful message. I think about the work that our members and our staff do every day throughout the year to bring the kingdom of God here to West End Avenue, to Nashville, to all the people that we touch. And this is a piece of that. This is part of what makes that happen. This year, we did a little bit different budget process. And, you know, a lot of people or organizations set a budget and say, hey, we spent this much money last year, inflation has been this much, therefore we're gonna spend about that much more next year. And many organizations do their budget that way. But this year we did something different here. We did something called zero-based budgeting, which means that the Finance Committee asked the staff and all of the lay leadership that works on this kind of planning, start from scratch. Imagine you wanted to create the perfect plan for what our community needs and what we need to support the work we want to do in 2023. Start from scratch and tell us what you need. And that's what they did. And a lot of things that we have been doing for many years are still in the budget, right? We're still gonna have Sunday school. We're still gonna have a youth program. We're still gonna do those things we count on. But some wonderful, exciting new ideas have come out of that planning of just asking that question, what does our community need? What do we need to do for our community? And so I wanna tell you a few of those highlights that we're planning for in 2023 that we're really excited about. We're gonna do an all-church retreat. We haven't done that for many years. There's gonna be a special retreat for young adults. You know, I've gotten old enough now where I see when young people join the church and when we have so many baptisms, I'm really excited about that. I'm like, oh, the church is gonna be very vibrant because so many people younger than me are here. We wanna support younger members. So this is part of that. Our wonderful choirs. We're planning for several new music compositions for our wonderful choirs to perform. Raises for our staff, that's really critical. We wanna make sure they have what they need in this world as well. Our Vacation Bible School for many years, if you don't have young children, you may not know this. Our Vacation Bible School for many years has cost more than $100 for the week. Now, if you wanna look at summer camp prices, that's really cheap. But $100 for the week means some children can't participate. It's gonna cost $10 next year. We're really excited about that. The youth are going to go on a trip. We're gonna have a multi-generational movie night. We're gonna have speakers on many topics. We're supporting many of the ministries we care about. And I wanna tell you this, it's Donut Sunday today for those of us here in person. We're gonna do it 6 times next year. Super excited about that. So I just want you to know, as you're writing your pledge or giving online for your pledge for 2023, the discernment and the thoughtful planning that has gone into what we will all do together, your pledge helps make every bit of that possible. As Christians, we're reminded that in the Bible, it asks us to give 10% of our income if we can. And I know from my own experience that sometimes that's not possible for everybody. The financial realities of the world we live in may not make that an easy gift for you today. I just want to say this. Don't fail to pledge because you don't love what that amount is. If you are giving with a generous and faithful heart, God knows your heart. I'm way less concerned about the number you put on your card than the heart you give with, right? So, all of that to say, it's time to turn in your pledge card or time to make that pledge online. And I'm really excited about what we will all do together in 2023. Let God guide your heart and give generously. And I can't wait to build new things together next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. And now it is with that generous heart that we give freely today.
my friends, we are marching through Emmanuel's ground. Emmanuel means God with us. Let us continue our march to Zion with joy, building the world God would have us live in for the sake of the world, for the sake of love, for the sake of God's dream. Go in God's peace. Amen.
Thank you.